What is up, beautiful people? You are now tuned into Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I am your host, Al Martin. On this Tuesday, September 8th, that's right, it is the day after Labor Day. People are going back to work. And hey, this is the first day of classes for those in elementary school, of course, high school. Happy, happy first day of school, ladies and gents. You shouldn't be listening to me. You should probably be in school unless you are a student here on campus, right? But hey, welcome to the show. We have a great one in store for you all today. We'll, of course, recap what head coach Mark D'Antonio had to say about the Spartans and their upcoming matchup against the Oregon Ducks this Saturday night on primetime television at 8 p.m. Mark touched on a bunch of things. You'll get to hear right from his mouth about what he expects his team to do Saturday in the preparation leading up to that matchup. We'll also bring you Top 5 Tuesday each and every Tuesday here on WKAR's Current Sports. We love to bring a Top 5 sporting topic to you. And today we list the top five Heisman Trophy watch list players. That's right, Isaac and myself will bring to you who we think the five guys are that you need to keep an eye on this Heisman Trophy race season. Later on in the hour, we'll chat about Roger Goodell, who is open to possibly altering his role when it comes to discipline and the NFL. So Roger finally made some comments this morning, actually, on Mike and Mike. We'll recap what he had to say. And also, we'll talk about that incident that took place out in Texas concerning officials who were hit by high school players. I kid you not, folks. Also, Ohio State and Virginia Tech is also on tap. All of that and so much more. But hey, let's start this party like we always do. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners for this September 8th. ESPN College Game Day, built by the Home Depot, celebrating its 29th season, will make its 8th appearance in East Lansing for Saturday's Michigan State and Oregon game, which, again, kickoff will be at 8 p.m. The weekly Emmy Award-winning show is hosted by Reese Davis, along with analysts Lee Corso, Kirk Herbstreit, Desmond Howard, and David Pollack, as well as contributors Samantha Ponder, Tom Rinaldi, George Whitfield, and Gene Wojnarowski. The remote setup will be located at Munfield. Gates to the College Game Day compound, located on Munfield, will be open Saturday at 7 a.m. That's right. Get up early, folks. Get that OJ and head out. Should be a nice one. All right. Senior defender Zach Carroll drilled home a penalty kick in the first overtime period to boost number 18 Michigan State men's soccer to a dramatic 1-0 win over West Virginia Monday afternoon at a hot and steamy DeMartin Stadium in front of a little over 1,000 fans. Now, MSU improves to 3-1 on the young season, as three of the four Spartan matches have been one-goal contests with a pair of 1-0 wins to go with a 1-0 defeat. WVU sides into the 1-3 record after dropping both its matches on its Michigan road trip, losing to Michigan on Friday. Monday's meeting was the first on the pitch between the Spartans and the Mountaineers. Rajai Davis's second home run of the game broke a tie in the seventh inning, sending the Tigers to a 5-4 win over the Rays on a Labor Day matinee at Comerica Park. Davis had his first two homer games since May 18th of 2012 as a Blue Jay against the Mets. Matt Boyd, who has surrendered 11 runs on 14 hits over seven innings in his last two starts at Toronto and Kansas City, will look for better fortunes at home when he takes the mound for the middle game of the series. First pitch is set for 7:08 p.m. The defending national champion Ohio State Buckeyes got their season started off on the right foot with a 42-24 win over Virginia Tech last night on the road. Now, VT executed a good game plan, generated two turnovers, and got a handful of breaks to take a 17-14 lead into the half, but all of that dried up as the Buckeyes got quick strike scores in the third quarter to take complete control of the game. Cardale Jones got the start, and Braxton Miller, who is transitioning quite well into his new H-back position, accounted for 140 yards on 8 touches. Wow, was he good or what? More on that game in just a sec. Andy Murray suffered his earliest Grand Slam exit for 5 years as he lost a grueling fourth-round contest against 15th seed Kevin Anderson. The South African won 7-6, 6-3, 6-7, 7-6 in 4 hours and 18 minutes to reach a first major quarterfinal, where he faces now Stan Wawrinka. Now, it is the first time since the 2010 U.S. Open that Murray has lost before the quarterfinals of a Grand Slam. My thumb still hurts from swiping from the Murray match to that Ohio State game last night. They both were so intriguing, at least in the Ohio State game at the start. Tonight, Serena Williams and Venus Williams will meet for the 27th time in their careers and the fifth time at the U.S. Open. Serena is 15-11 against her older sister, including a 6-1 mark over their last seven matches. This won't be the first time the sisters have met at the U.S. Open. Venus and Serena have played four matches in Flushing, New York, with each sister winning two. Ricky Fowler beat Henrik Stenson by one shot to win the Deutsche Bank Championship in Massachusetts. The American closed with a 3-under 68 for a 15-under par total to claim his third PGA Tour title and move to fifth in the world ranking. Stenson, who led overnight, was undone by a double bogey on the par 3 16th after hitting his tee shot into the water. Rory McIlroy's failure to finish in the top five means Jordan Spieth returns to the top of the world rankings. And last but not least, just sad news coming out of Cleveland right now. Cleveland Browns offensive line coach Andy Moeller is being investigated for allegedly assaulting a female guest at his home. Prosecutor Jim Walters could decide as soon as today whether to press charges, according to the Berea Police Department report about the incident released Tuesday with names redacted because no charges had been filed. Officers were dispatched at 9:06 p.m. on Saturday to a home where a woman alleged that she had been assaulted. Really hope that one isn't true. All right, folks, well, that wraps up your current sports quick hit headliners. If you want to call and give your thoughts on anything that we chat about today or anything on your sports noggin, you know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. It's time to start the show.
Downfield, Braxton Miller makes the catch, shakes a man, and scores.
Watch this. This is a matchup you will take every time if you're Ohio State. Braxton Miller with his quickness against the safety Desmond Fries. And when you give him that kind of cushion off of the line of scrimmage, there's no way that Fries is going to be able to stay with him out in space like that.
Miller, the shotgun, gets free on the edge. Braxton Miller is loose. Spin move. Miller heading for the end zone. You think he's made an impact in his first game at H-back?
Wow. Watch his spin move. I think in the Madden, that might be the B button. Give me the night. Give me the night.
Welcome to WKAR's Current Sports. Hey, thanks a lot, George Benson. One of my favorite throwbacks right there. Give me the night as Braxton Miller. The night was his, wasn't it? I tell you, he is unbelievable. Oh, boy. I tell you what, he's having a hard time making that transition into H-back, isn't he? He's having a really difficult time, folks. Welcome to Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. We have a fun-filled show in store for all of you today. Of course, it is Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday here on WKR's Current Sports, we're going to bring you Top 5 Tuesday. Of course, we've debated many Top 5 sporting topics in the past, and today will be just like that, okay? We'll bring you our Top 5 Heisman Trophy watch list players. You don't want to miss that. Later on, we'll also chat about Roger Goodell, who is open to changing his role when it comes to disciplining the players within the NFL. And he spoke on Mike and Mike this morning. And also, we'll talk about that just disturbing video of two high school players who were involved with targeting referees during a high school football game last week on Friday night. Disturbing stuff. So we'll have a lot to chat about, and we encourage you all to call in. You know that number, 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. We're going to start, of course, by talking about that Ohio State and Virginia Tech game last night. Ohio State getting its revenge against the Hokies, and a great game. A great game for Ohio State when looking at what they were able to do, at least in the second half. The first half was a bit rocky for the Buckeyes, to say the least. They actually went into halftime with a deficit, a 17-14 deficit going into halftime. And then the Buckeyes, they got right back on track after, you know, the halftime ensued, and they came out in the third quarter, with all guns a-blazing. They were fantastic in that first half, that second half. But when looking at, you know, what Braxton Miller was able to do, I mean, he is certainly the talk of the town, today, because his numbers were gaudy, his plays were gaudy. And the big question coming into this year for Ohio State was not only the quarterback competition between JT Barrett and Cardale Jones, but also how well would Braxton Miller, you know, take being his position changed to a wide receiver or H-back, quote unquote. So he took it pretty well. You know, that's a pretty good start, you know, to his, his year in that new role. He was unbelievable. Unbelievable. I mean, when you talk about his numbers, you know, I mentioned in our quick hit headliners that he accounted for 140 yards on 8 touches of the football. That's just crazy when it comes to his receiving numbers. He had 2 receptions for 1 touchdown. Those 2 receptions amounted to a total of 78 yards. We saw that 1 touchdown. And you heard, of course, Chris Fowler and Kirk Herbstreit on the call. That crazy spin move. Crazy spin move as Braxton Miller bounced out to the left side to the field. He has 2 guys coming at him. He plants that left foot and pulls off one incredible spin move. He fakes everyone out and he takes it straight to the bank. One unbelievable move by Braxton Miller. And his athletic talent just was really on display last night. I mean, Braxton Miller is one of those guys that I truly thought, I mean, if he was, you know, going to be, you know, continue to be the quarterback for Ohio State, I don't know if he would have played quarterback, you know, in the NFL. I don't think he would have played quarterback in the NFL because he's that athletic. I mean, he can burn you with in so many ways. He showed you last night. He's great. He's got great hands. He's got great just instincts when out in the open field. And he can just burn you in so many multiple ways. But he's so athletic that you don't want to put him in a box. We all know that he does have an arm on him. He can play that quarterback position. He was great when he did play the quarterback position. He's a former Big Ten Player of the Year, for goodness sake. But when you think of Braxton Miller and think of the total package that he is, I mean, hey, why not try him at the H-back? Because he's like a Percy Harvin type of a player. He can burn you in so many ways. You can put him in the backfield. You can put him out in the slot. You can have him run a go route. There are so many ways in which Braxton Miller can be utilized. And it's great that Braxton has actually bought in, because I'm sure there are many players that if approached by Urban Meyer and Urban said, okay, you know what, we got 2 guys who really played fantastic last year. Heck, we won a national championship. We want to try you at a different position. There are many players out there that I'm sure would have bit back and said, you know, but I still want to compete for that position. That's a position that I played before I got hurt. I want to compete for it. But the fact that Braxton Miller bought in to what Urban Meyer had to say, and that, you know, that just made the transition easier. And Braxton Miller wants to play that position. He was having fun out there. I mean, you could see him. I mean, he was cracking smiles left and right. And, you know, LeBron James, you know, tweeted him. I mean, he was having a lot of fun out there. And I think that he is going to continue to just be a havoc for multiple college football defenders as the year goes on. But congrats to Braxton Miller. It's great to see him back and healthy. And when it comes to that quarterback position, I was actually reading this morning that Urban Meyer, he waited until after the first Hokie drive before he let Cardale Jones or JT Barrett know who that numero uno guy was going to be. Cardale Jones had an interesting quote today in which he said, hey, I found out who was going to be the starting quarterback at the same time that you all found out who was going to be the starting quarterback. I had no idea until Urban looked at me after that first drive and said, all right, go in. So, and hey, I couldn't help, and I tweeted this last night, I couldn't help but think, what was actually going through the mind of JT Barrett? Because here's a guy who played fantastic last year before he got hurt. He was unbelievable. We all know, many of you Spartan fans out there know at Spartan Stadium how he torched up that Michigan State defense, that Pat Narduzzi defense last year at home. So he's a fantastic player. And then what does Cardell do? He comes in after the JT injury and wins, you know, three games over formidable opponents like Alabama and Oregon, and they win a national championship. So that quarterback competition was so tight. And, you know, hey, Urban decided to go with Cardale Jones. I thought Cardale had an interesting game. He had a solid game overall, I thought. He was 9 for 18 for 186 yards, two touchdowns, threw one interception. He had an overall quarterback rating of 88.2. The interesting thing that I did see, and this is what, you know, Urban likes to do when it comes to his offense and the quarterback position. We saw it a lot also with Braxton Miller when he was the starting quarterback. And, you know, Urban loves to have his quarterback run the football. And we saw multiple times throughout that game where Cardale Jones, when things would break down or he didn't see anything, or even from the very get-go of the play, Cardale Jones corralled the football and put the ball on the ground. Now, it was kind of comical watching a 6'5", 250-pound quarterback, you know, run the football, but Cardale was efficient at that at times, I must say. And, you know, he's a big stature. I mean, that's a big frame for a quarterback, so it's not easy to bring him down. But we also saw JT Barrett get some time during the later portion of that game where Ohio State was able to really stretch out that lead. JT Barrett comes in the football game and really shows you what he can do with his feet. We saw in that one play that he came in, I mean, he had one rush for 40 yards. He goes 40 yards up the left side of the field and shows you the jets that he has, and that's what made JT Barrett so special last year. Great game by JT Barrett. He also even threw a touchdown on his very first throw of the game. So the talent that Ohio State has is just oozing out. And folks, I haven't even brought up Ezekiel Elliott, who I think is going to, you know, to let the cat out the bag early here for our Top 5 Tuesday. I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a legitimate Heisman Trophy contender this year. I mean, Ezekiel Elliott is a fantastic player. So you're talking about guys like Elliott. You got Cardale Jones. You got JT Barrett, who you can throw in. You got Braxton Miller. Not to mention the Ohio State defense, folks. I mean, looking at the total package for Ohio State, it's no wonder why many experts across the board and many fans alike are picking Ohio State as the numero uno team in the nation. And again, you know, they have the country's scariest rushing duo, which highlights potential number one pick in Joey Bosa. Of course, Deron Lee. Joey Bosa, I believe, was suspended for last night, along with the other plethora of players. Ezekiel Elliott, you know, due to those suspensions, had to sort of transition into a new role as kick returner because Jalen Thomas was also involved in whatever that off-the-field incident was and when, you know, he was suspended. So we saw Ezekiel Elliott sort of uncomfortable in that role. He had one return in which he fumbled it. But, you know, looking at the total package for Ohio State, it is very, very hard not to fathom this team being, once again, in the college football playoff when this year is said and done. Again, it's very, very early. We saw what VT was able to do early on in that game, so I don't want to overreact with that statement. But at the same time, the pieces are there. And VT, you know, you got to give a lot of credit to them because I thought early on in that game they were able to put a lot of pressure on Cardale Jones, able to make him uncomfortable. Ezekiel Elliott, I mean, we didn't see any big runs from him early on in that game. Well, yeah, we did see one that he took to the house. But other than that, I thought they did a pretty relatively good job at the line of scrimmage. And really, after Michael Brewer got hurt, again, broken collarbone, he came out in a sling. And then you saw, of course, his replacement, Brendan Motley, who prior to last night hadn't thrown one football in a college football game. He only got, you know, I was doing some research, and Brendan Motley, the only real reps, game reps, quote unquote, that he got with this team happened to be in the spring game, where actually the coaching staff held Michael Brewer out because he was dealing with an injury during that time. So Brendan Motley now comes in. That's going to be a big loss for VT. So, you know, hey, overall, I thought it was a good game for Ohio State. There are certainly improvements to be made, but man, oh man, if they play like they did in that second half the rest of the year, they are going to be scary. What did you take away from the game? 517-355-9527, 517-355-9527. You know you can go to our Facebook page at facebook.com/currentsports as well. Leave us a comment there. I'll read it live here on the air. You can also even tweet me at Al Martin WKAR. I want to invite right now the man behind the glass, our fantastic engineer of WKAR's Current Sports, Isaac Constance. Isaac, how you doing?
Good, Al. I thought we were going to have a really, really big story today for a second. When going into that second half, Virginia Tech really looked like they could do it. But, of course, Ohio State's the best team in the nation. And if I predicted something to happen, it was actually exactly this. I thought Ohio State, Virginia Tech, those fans were pumped up. They were rowdy. And you could tell that Virginia Tech came out to play. But in the second half, talent overweighs anything else and outweighs, rather. And Ohio State sure proved that point.
Yeah, and let's be honest, though. I think it really hurt, though, with Michael Brewer going out of that game. I mean, it was
a defining moment.
And that hit that he took, too. I mean, you could see it, too. I mean, he stepped through his throw. He knew the hit was coming. He tried to brace for it, but it came so quick, and he falls right down on his left side. You knew something was wrong immediately when it happened. So very unfortunate for a Virginia Tech team that I thought was going to be very competitive this year. Brendan Motley, I mean, these are growing up times for him right now, game by game by game. And you better believe he is going to get a ton of reps in practice throughout this week to get him prepared.
Al, he certainly is. And the other part about it is Brendan Motley, he came in totally unprepared for this game. You could tell that really Virginia Tech had a game plan for how Michael Brewer would handle the Ohio State defense. And Brewer was prepared. He was fantastic throughout that game. 11 of 16, 156 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Who would have thought that he probably was the best quarterback in that game of possibly 3 quarterbacks to start? Michael Brewer, of all people, was the best one. But anyway, that hit by Adolphus Washington, unfortunately, took him out, gave us less of a game to watch, and it wasn't the only big hit on him either. Joey Bosa got in a few times, and Virginia Tech's line really let their quarterback down. So I thought it was a great showing from Virginia Tech, though. Hopefully this program's began to climb back up to where they used to be when they were contending for national championships, but Ohio State, they sure did reaffirm my opinion of them as the best team in college football.
And actually, I think you were referring to, when it comes to that linebacker position, I think you were talking about Deron Lee for Ohio State. Because, of course, Joey Bosa was suspended last night due to his off-the-field incidents with Jalen Thomas, whatever happened. Yeah, so I think when Joey Bosa returns, though, that is going to be very scary.
Because, yeah, crazy.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, those two, actually, when looking at Bosa and Deron Lee, both of them combined for 37 and a half tackles for losses. I mean, that's unbelievable. They are scary. When Bosa and Lee are all out in the field together, it's really scary. And then I think, again, going back to Ezekiel Elliott, I think as the season moves on, we're really going to see him flourish, because Ezekiel Elliott, he is surely a big talent. Anytime you bring back on that offensive line 4 of your 5 starters, oh, boy, that experience is going to be vital. And that's why it was so surprising to me. If anything, I was very surprised and impressed at how Virginia Tech was able to sort of, in a few plays, bully that Ohio State senior late in offensive line and get some pressure on Cardale Jones. So, but very unfortunate for VT. Valiant effort. But again, as you just said, Isaac, I mean, talent is certainly weighed out from there. So, interesting stat here. Each of Urban Meyer's 3 national title teams lost at least 1 game. And a defeat this year could be dire, though, because he really has just a few chances for a resume-building, you know, non-conference, you know, schedule. Because, you know, they play, you know, Virginia Tech. They roll over them. I really think, when looking at Ohio State's schedule, Isaac, I mean, looking at how their season is going to be, I think the only loss they could have this year is probably Michigan State on November 21st. I think that's what it's going to come down to. I think both Michigan State, especially if Michigan State beats Oregon this Saturday, Michigan State and Ohio State could both be undefeated, you know, for that November 21st game, and that could be the biggest game of the year for both of those teams.
Well, it'll be a throwback to the game of the century when LSU played Alabama, of course, in 2011. So, no, this game, it means everything, Michigan State versus Ohio State. And even if one of those teams or both of those teams were to lose a game going in, this would still decide a playoff spot. Let's be real. The Big Ten has regained their credibility from last year, even though the first week didn't look great. Like you mentioned on yesterday's show, the Labor Day show, Al, The Big Ten had the worst possible start to the season last year, and look how that turned out. So, no, Michigan State, Ohio State, I think both likely could go into that game undefeated. At least Ohio State will. Of course, Michigan State has the big Oregon game. But like you said, this is Urban Meyer's best chance to go undefeated, in my opinion. as a college coach. So we'll see if he can grasp it.
Yeah, I really think that looking at their schedule now, Isaac, I mean, Michigan State would be really the only game in which they could really turn heads and say, okay, this team has certainly been tested now, and they deserve to be in the playoff. I think that it will come down to it because, you know, looking from here, I mean, they play Hawaii next. Blowout.
Easy.
Northern Illinois, Western Michigan, Indiana, Maryland, Penn State, Rutgers, Minnesota, Illinois, and then they play Michigan State. I mean, dude, I really think that, you know, they could be three touchdown favorites on their only three league road games, which would be Indiana, Rutgers, Illinois, and Michigan. I think, you know, and Illinois did look, you know, out of all of those four, I mean, did look the best out of all of them. But at the end of the day, I mean, Ohio State really could go. I think they're going to go undefeated when they play Michigan State on November 21st.
Oh, I do too. I mean, that schedule you just mentioned, it's a cakewalk,
cakewalk
Al.
For them.
It's so easy. I could ask my kindergarten class if I was a kindergarten teacher. That's a weird analogy, but they could probably get through that schedule except for Michigan State. So, no, it would be an easy walk for Ohio State, but even – and then you'd have to question if they don't go undefeated except for Michigan State, if they lose one of those games and even beat a Michigan State, should they go to the championship or the playoffs rather? Because that's such an easy schedule. There's no strength of schedule there.
Right.
I think they still would, looking at how the committee treated Florida State last year, who the ACC is not even a Power 5 conference. Come on. That is such a weak Power 5 if you consider it one. So, no, I think Ohio State would still go. But that question would arise if they were to lose any game.
No,
except
I agree.
For Michigan State.
And I think it's legitimate as well. And I think they will at the end of the day because of, you know, they're defending national champs. That holds a lot of weight. And also when looking at, you know, just if they blow out every single team, and if they do beat Michigan State on November 21st, then you have to put them in at the end of the day, especially if Michigan State has a great season in which they do beat Oregon this Saturday, which we'll see. So going to be interesting, you know, season for Ohio State. And I think plenty of opportunity for, you know, Ezekiel Elliott and the other personnel, the other studs of that team to pad their Heisman Trophy resumes. And we'll get to that later on in the show. Of course, it's Top 5 Tuesday, in which we'll break down our Top 5 Heisman Trophy player watch list. You don't want to miss that. Let's hear our first break, Isaac, because when we come back, we're going to bring you head coach Mark D'Antonio. That's right, head coach Mark D'Antonio. He addressed the media at Spartan Stadium this morning at around 11:30. Hear what Mark D'Antonio had to say on this week's eve, of course, of Oregon. This Saturday night at Spartan Stadium, the biggest game in college football. Don't touch that dial. You are listening to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. Welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. Got to remind you all that, hey, Current Sports TV tapes tomorrow at 3 p.m. Tomorrow, I'll be sitting down and chatting with Anthony Iani, former Michigan State men's basketball player who is now a motivational speaker for the Department of Civil Rights here in the state of Michigan. He has been traveling all across the nation preaching his anti-bullying message as well as raising awareness for autism, a condition in which he was diagnosed at 4 years old. If you want to be in the audience, in the live studio audience tomorrow at 3 p.m. here at the WKAR TV studios, all you got to do is simply sign up for free online at WKAR.org. So this week is pretty exciting, of course, because it dons the biggest college football game of the week. Yes, right. The Michigan State Spartans, they host the Oregon Ducks, a rematch of last year. Last year, of course, we all know what happened. A Heisman Trophy winner, Marcus Mariota, he was absolutely spectacular in that second half in Eugene. And the Spartans, I tell you what, they have been foaming at the mouth looking forward to this game since last year. And it's a big game. Big game with of course, possible huge implications. As we just mentioned before our first break, if Michigan State does beat Oregon. I mean, looking at the rest of their schedule, they could legitimately be undefeated right before that November 21st matchup against Ohio State. And I was actually even, you know, speaking of Anthony Ayana, I was texting him last night. He texted me out of nowhere as he watched that Ohio State in Virginia Tech game last night. And he was just kind of breaking, him and I were just kind of chatting back and forth about, you know, the November 21st matchup between the Spartans and Ohio State. And we chatted a bit about Oregon. And Anthony told me that he has a bigger dislike for Ohio State than he does U of M. Isn't that something? I mean, this is Anthony Ayani we're talking about here. I mean, he's a former Michigan State athlete, and that says a lot. He says that he does not like Urban Meyer. He thinks that Urban Meyer is a cheater. I mean, he went on his huge rant via text message with me last night. It's pretty comical. So I'm also going to pick Anthony's brain on what he thinks is going to happen this Saturday, because he is a pretty big college football fan. But anyway, college, head coach Mark D'Antonio at Spartan Stadium this morning, he addressed the media, to chat about the upcoming matchup against Oregon. And he had a lot of things to say, including, you know, there was a question thrown out from one of the media members talking about Russell Wilson, former Wisconsin quarterback who has gone on to quarterback the Seattle Seahawks in the NFL and has done a pretty good job. You know, he's got a Super Bowl ring, for goodness sake. One of the best quarterbacks, and also my quarterback on my fantasy football league. Russell Wilson, he's a fantastic QB. And, you know, there's comparisons being thrown out, apparently, between Russell Wilson and now Oregon quarterback Vernon Adams. And here's what D'Antonio had to say when it comes to that comparison.
Yeah, first question. I do see the similarities between Vernon and Russell Wilson to some extent. And, but we haven't played him yet, and we've got one game on him. So other than watching him when he was at Eastern Washington and things of that nature. So you see some of that, but we'll have to see when we play him. I mean, Russell Wilson was outstanding. He's had an outstanding career, obviously. Second question, in terms of what makes Oregon cutting edge, I think that they're always looking to critique their program, number one. They have surrounded their program with great players. They have a great running back in Freeman, additional running backs. They have great skill players. So they're taking the skill level within that program, a high, very high skill level, and then they're doing things that everybody else is doing. And, you know, I think they may be the leader in doing those things. And, you know, I've seen switch routes before where they go like this. I've never seen a switch route where they've gone like that, and I can't flip my arms the other way and then gone like that again. Okay, so I've never seen that. So that's just one aspect of it. It was in a two-minute situation, but you saw it, and it was unusual.
Yeah, Oregon, they do a lot of unusual things offensively, and it's so interesting when watching Oregon and their offensive scheme, even their defensive scheme. I mean, they just do things that utilize their speed, because Oregon, I mean, they're one of the fastest teams in college football every single year. You heard Coach D mention sophomore Royce Freeman, who had over 1,000 yards last year and 18 touchdowns. And also, you can't forget about junior running back Thomas Tyner, who averaged 5.1 yards per carry. He also returns to this team. So this is a team that has a lot of speed. Of course, we know they're also going to use Vernon Adams, not only because I don't think that Vernon Adams, when looking at that first game against Eastern Washington, I don't believe that Vernon Adams has this cannon arm. He doesn't have a very big arm, but he is an elusive type of a guy. And he has an interesting stature that is comparable to the NFL's Russell Wilson. He's going to be a guy who's going to try to beat you with those short throws, but also beat you with his feet. No surprise there. It's Oregon we're talking about. But also, watch for Royce Freeman. That MSU defensive line is going to be key. Mark D'Antonio, he also talked about, you know, the impact that his quarterback, Connor Cook, will have in this game. And that's what here's what he had to say when concerning Cook's impact.
Well, he is an X factor. I mean, I think as he goes, we go. That's the nature of the quarterback position. He has the ability to throw it. There's no question about that. He has the ability to run it. And, you know, he's got to get out there and do that sometimes. Big games like this, I think you take advantage of both ends of that spectrum. But, it's his decision-making. It's his arm strength. It's his calls at the line of scrimmage. It's his leadership value in the huddle, those type of things. All those things come to, you know, become higher thoughts, you know, become very paramount, I think, in everything that he's trying to do this week. So that's every quarterback is the X factor guy, I think, for their football team. And then as far as, you know, when you look at him, and I saw a stat on out there that we're 4-1 versus top five football teams right now in the ones that we've played. And I think he's been a part of four of those games. So he's been in big games. And he's come out and has been the MVP in some of those big games. And he's had big games himself in all of those games. So I think that there's an added significance to that he has performed very well in those situations. So we're looking for a great game.
Mark, a few of the players have talked about looking to the Oregon-Ohio State game specifically. When they're working in the off-season, winter and summer, and those are the things they keep in their mind when they drive, when they want to push a little bit further. I guess, how have you seen those type of things motivate this team? And how do they, I mean, a veteran team, do they still have that balance of not getting too worked up or, you know, letting it get out of hand before the game anyway?
Yeah, there's a fine line in preparation, but I don't think you get ready on Friday night or Saturday morning. You know, I think you have to build your momentum throughout the week, and then so that at kickoff you're ready to go. So as far as I think our players know the score. I said opening up the press conference that, you know, we've lost three games out of the last 30, and we know the teams we've lost to, and you know our MO was to try and reach higher, and to do that it right now it runs through Oregon. I also think that if you look at last year's football team, you know, if we win that football game, you know, you're talking beyond. You're talking, you know, and you just keep trying to move your program forward and reach a little bit higher. So that's what we'll try and do, and I think we'll be very motivated for the game, as will they, because this is a stepping stone game. It's not a conference game, but it's a big national game. I think we all understand that. That's why game day's here. That's why people talk about it. It's a big game, and it has ramifications that go beyond this game later on down the line.
Yes, that is certainly true. If Michigan State is able to beat Oregon, I mean, it would look great on their resume. You talk about strength of schedule, having an early non-conference game against the Ducks and having this as a win would mean a ton and would certainly hold Michigan State to a higher light. Now, looking at this whole thing, I mean, at the end of the day, Isaac, I really believe that Michigan State has to score at least 40 points if they do want to beat the Ducks. That's like my threshold for me. And I think they can. I mean, Eastern Washington this past weekend was able to put up 42 points against that Oregon Ducks defense. So if Eastern Washington is able to put up 42 points, I mean, Connor Cook really has to be licking his chops and saying, oh, man, we can go out here and really do some things against that Oregon Ducks defense.
Yeah, well, if the Michigan State offense does anything like how or plays anyhow like they played against Western Michigan, I'm not too sure about this game because although there were some decent performances in that game, Connor Cook needs to be up to scrap. Connor Cook needs to be at his best more than anything else against Oregon because you know that they will bring the house on a couple of plays to try to stop the run and force Michigan State to pass. And Oregon's secondary is where there's a little bit of vulnerability. They lost their best cornerback in the draft to the draft. So anyway, I think Connor Cook, yes, he has to be at his best. I totally agree with you.
Yeah, and I think with the Ducks, looking at what they do, I mean, they will stick with their 3-4. They'll get a boost from the return of 6'7", 290-pound senior defensive end DeForest Buckner, who had 81 tackles, 13 tackles for losses in 2014. He was their stud. Also, he was a reserve last year, outside linebacker Christian French. He led the team in sacks 6.5 last year, even though the former tight end said he lacked confidence in his new role. Now, if he can find his swagger and apply pressure, that we could see him possibly put some pressure on Connor Cook in that backfield. But overall, again, if you look at what occurred in that first game and knowing the type of quarterback that Connor Cook is, I always call him confident, cool Cook because he doesn't let anything rattle him. I think Connor Cook is going to go out and have a great game. Also, when you talk about that running back core, guys like Madre London and L.J. Scott and Gerald Holmes, I mean, those guys I also think have the potential to also have a very big game. So, hey, moving forward, I mean, as D'Antonio talked about, reaching higher. If Michigan State wants to reach higher and be among the elite and constantly be named among the elite, These are the type of games that you have to win. And here's D'Antonio again. I want to go back to that on that reach higher motto.
Anyway, yeah, there's a fine line in preparation, but I don't think you get ready on Friday night or Saturday morning. You know, I think you have to build your momentum throughout the week, and then so that at kickoff you're ready to go. So as far as I think our players know the score. I said opening up the press conference that, you know, we've lost 3 games out of the last 30. And we know the teams we've lost to. And, you know, our MO was to try and reach higher. And to do that, it right now it runs through Oregon. I also think that if you look at last year's football team, you know, if we win that football game, you know, you're talking beyond. You're talking, you know.
Yeah, and again, I just wanted to go back to that reach higher model because, again, this is a game that could propel Michigan State into national championship talks automatically. Looking at last year, it's a game that could have done the same. If they beat Marcus Mariota, who was a Heisman Trophy winner last year, I mean, just imagine where Michigan State could have sat last year. I think they would have been competing in the college football playoffs. So, again, this is the type of game that I think Michigan State needs to win. It's interesting. I'm looking here at this Sports Illustrated article, and they say it's so nonchalant here, Isaac. Michigan State is favored to win this game this Saturday. I'm not sure what the line in Vegas is as we speak. But again, it's going to be actually a pick'em game out in Vegas. But this is how SI puts it. They say, quote, a week 2 trip to Michigan State is most likely a loss. Then they goes on to say, but the Ducks have time to get back into the playoff hunt, provided they don't stumble in Pac-12 play. You see how nonchalant they said that? So even that statement in Sports Illustrated just shows you where D'Antonio has this football program from a perception standpoint nationally.
Yeah, now Penn State's visit or Ohio State's visit to Penn State is most likely a loss for Penn State. That's most likely a loss. Mm-hmm. You said it perfectly. Nonchalant, very offhandedly. Oh, yeah, that's probably a loss.
Right.
That's not the case. This is going to be one of the games of the season. And I'm not sure if I'm favoring MSU at this point with the way they looked against Western Michigan.
But as I said, Isaac, we can't overreact. And
no,
that's why I didn't want to overreact when looking at, you know, Oregon's win over Eastern Washington. And I didn't want to overreact when looking at Michigan State's struggles against Western. So it's only week one.
You can't overreact at all. But you can't also say this game's probably is definitely favoring one way. I think this is a toss-up. I think it's a coin flip. So
yeah, it was surprising when I read that from Lindsey Chanel in SI's preseason college football issue. Also, you know, interesting question. It was also posed to Coach D. Whether or not coaches feel the buzz of a big game like this one?
Well, I think every football game, there's a lot of pressure on coaches to get prepared, and they don't want to waste any time. So they sort of immerse themselves in that bubble. And I think that's coaching. That's college coaching or coaching at any level, really. So, but I think coaches understand big games. They're just as nervous for any. You know, I was just as nervous last week as I am for this week. I mean, there's no difference. So, and I would say it's probably been the same as an assistant coach, too. So it's just the nature of it. I think we all understand, though, that when you play in a championship game or you're playing in, you know, a game that is for the conference championship or a big game that's leading to it or a big out-of-conference game, there's a little bit more to it, a little bit more preparation, a little bit more studies, off-season studies and things of that nature, and you hope to do your best. And I think the biggest thing that I've always asked of our players and our coaches is do your very best. And I can handle that. Do your very best and do it with confidence. And that's how we've always approached it.
Isaac, you got to believe that if you are a head coach and you are coaching in a game of this magnitude, if I'm head coach Mark D'Antonio or any coach on that coaching staff, I'm feeling a bunch of emotions. It's hard to do that because we aren't on that coaching staff. But I mean, you got College Game Day coming in the house. You're going to be on primetime television where everyone's going to be looking at you. You are going to be the game, the sporting event on Saturday night on ESPN. I mean, you got to believe that as a coach, you got to be a little bit nervous, a little bit giddy for that game. Of course, Coach D kind of took the traditional coach speak, you know, hey, you know, the George Parlors, they all count one. You know, we stick to our guns. We're in a bubble, as that Coach D just said. At the same time, I mean, it's pretty exciting if you are a coach on that staff. And it comes with a bit of pressure as well.
Of course it does. Michigan State is also on the ascendancy. This could propel them to being a national powerhouse for years to come if they win this game. This game. Because if they win this game, run the table, or even lose to Ohio State, they're going into the playoff picture with pretty good self-esteem. So, big game. Also, just imagine the amount of recruits that'll be at this one with five-star teams that'll be really competing for recruits across the nation, in the South, in the North, wherever you may be. This game will be a packed house, not just with students, media hype, and really excitement, but also with recruits that are the most coveted in the nation.
Funny story, Curtis Blackwell, of course, he was my guest for Current Sports TV last week. And Curtis, when we were walking to the TV studio, me and Curtis were just talking. And of course, Curtis is the director of college development for the Michigan State football team. He's also in charge of the recruiting services for the Michigan State football team. And we were chatting about that Oregon game. And he said, Al, next week, which is now this week, of course, he said, next week is going to be the biggest recruiting weekend in Michigan State football history. Point blank, period. And they have actually over 200 recruits that are going to be at Spartan Stadium this Saturday. I read an article from Joe Rexroth of the Detroit Free Press this morning, and they get a chance to meet Tom Izzo. Travis Trice will be in the house. Steve Smith will be in the house. Martin Cleaves will be in the house. They will have video games set up in, I believe, one of the rooms on campus. They're actually going to get a chance before the Spartans make their traditional walk right in front of the Spartan statue on campus. And, you know, you flip the penny for good luck, you know, like they all do as they walk by and before they go into the tunnel. The recruits are going to get a chance to walk that trail, flip the penny on the Spartan statue, and walk through the tunnel to get that game day feel. I mean, Curtis Blackwell is in that recruiting staff, that assistant coaching staff, they are pulling out all of the stops. And again, Curtis Blackwell said this will be the biggest recruiting day in Michigan State football history. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Each recruit gets three tickets that they can give away to a family or a friend for them to enjoy that game as well. So it is going to be absolutely packed. Of course, Clinton Jones as well, who we had on the show last week, who will also be in town starting on Thursday to give a preview of Through the Banks of the Red Cedar. Clinton Jones will be inducted into the Ring of Honor. I believe there's a specific name. Is it the Ring of Honor? I have to see the specific name of it, but there's a certain, you know, there's names that have been inducted and retired at Spartan Stadium, and Clinton Jones and his number will be retired, I believe, during halftime or before the game this Saturday. So it's going to be a very, very big game. And, you know, at the end of the day, Isaac, going back to the X's and O's of this matchup, I don't think that Michigan State can win this game if they do get into a shootout against Oregon. Here's Mark D'Antonio addressing that.
The theory is you don't want to get into a shootout with a team like Oregon. It sounds like you guys aren't afraid of getting in a shootout with anybody.
Well, sometimes you got to do what you got to do, you know. So the bottom line at the end of the game is, you know, do you win or do you lose? So whether we win 10-9 or whether we win 40-39 really makes no difference. I mean, they're all going to count one, pretty much like I said last weekend. But, you know, you got to play. That's why it's a team game. You know, we can't just put our defense out there and say, okay, they won and the offense lost. And that's why we've always tried to collectively say together, what are we going to do? We've got to offset each other. Special teams we have to play better than we did last week on the kickoff, for example. That's a must. So there'll be a lot of time spent in that area.
So, you know, it was interesting, right? Because, you know, there was mixed in a bit of coach speak. They all count one, blah, blah, blah. But there were also some specifics that he talked about Michigan State improving upon if they want to do beat Oregon. And he did specifically address the kicking game, special teams in that bite. But again, you know, I don't think that if this is a shootout and both offenses are clicking and there's no defensive stops, I don't know if Michigan State wants to play that type of ball because that is not what they are known for, Isaac.
No, Al, this defensive squad should be one of the top teams in the nation. And we didn't see it against Western Michigan. Again, can't emphasize enough, I'm totally with you. It's week one. Let's not overreact to that, especially since 7 points and great field position was given up on special teams. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, this Michigan State team still should be one of the best defensive teams in the nation, especially in the front seven. So if that just is totally negated by a fast-paced, high-scoring game, Michigan State's not going to be able to match the firepower of Oregon.
It's not Big Ten football. It's not what they do. It's not what they do. You don't want to play Oregon's game on Saturday night. So, and again, going back to I mentioned Clinton Jones. It's actually the Ring of Fame. That's his number will be retired into the Ring of Fame this Saturday. And of course, Clinton Jones, he is being inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame this December. And Coach D also congratulated Clinton to start his presser this morning. Well, let's hit our second break. When we come back, we'll continue our chat about college football, bring to you Top 5 Tuesday. Who exactly are on our, of course, Top 5 Heisman Trophy player watch list? You don't want to miss that and so much more. We'll put a bow on current sports when we get back. Don't touch that dial. To WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. It is Tuesday, and each and every Tuesday here on WKAR's Current Sports, we love to bring you guys Top 5 Tuesday. You know, we've debated countless top five topics on this show, like the top five, you know, best coaches in Michigan State lore, the top five point guards of Michigan State basketball of all time. We've you know, you get the idea, right? So today we decided to stick with the college football theme and bring to you our top five predictions who will be in the running for that coveted Heisman Trophy watch list. Here we go. You hear the music. It's time for Top 5 Tuesday. Who are the top five candidates to win this year's Heisman Trophy in college football? Well, Isaac, I'll start this thing off. And I first want to bring up a guy who really tore it up last night. I'm going to put Braxton Miller on my list because I think he turned a lot of heads last night. And again, you know, we brought up Ohio State's schedule, I think. Looking at the schedule that Ohio State has this year, it will allow Braxton Miller to have multiple opportunities to really pad his statistics. He's going to be targeted a lot. Cardale Jones, they already, you know, him and Cardale Jones, they already have a love connection going on. He's a crisp route runner. He's freakishly athletic. He's got great hands. Looking at what Braxton did last night, it's hard, you know, not to have him on my list. So I'm starting with Braxton Miller, H-back, for the Ohio State Buckeyes.
Yeah, Al, I can't see Braxton keeping this up throughout the season. He's not their top receiver or running back, so I just can't see him putting up the stats, although I think he's a fantastic player. My number five is going to be a Bayou Bengal, one of my favorite players right now, Leonard Fournette. I think he's going to have an excellent season. Not Heisman winning season, but one definitely good enough to catapult him into the race, especially now that he holds sole position of that running back spot at LSU.
Leonard is my guy. He's my number four. I think Leonard Fournette, you already know that I actually have LSU in my college football playoff. I think Leonard Fournette is going to have one fantastic year. He is a great playmaker, and he's going to be one of those guys that you look at and say, wow, this season, multiple times. So, yeah, Leonard Fournette, I won't waste my breath here. He's my number four. My number three, I'm going with – oh, man, and I kind of debated back and forth with this one, but I am going to put – I'm going to put Derrick Henry as my number three. Looking at what he was able to do with Alabama this past weekend, of course, there were multiple question marks for Alabama going into that game against Wisconsin on Saturday night. I thought that Derrick Henry, he surprised me. He really shocked me. I mean, he's 6'3", 242 pounds. You know, there's multiple guys on that team, though. I mean, I brought up yesterday Kenyon Drake, who is such a speedy guy. He runs a 4.4 in the 40. He's also going to get time at that running back position. But Derrick Henry, to me, had more pop. He had more, you know, he was able to get out more so in the open field and do things. He's a big, big body. You're not going to tackle him with just one guy. And also knowing that Jake Coker in that quarterback competition that ensued in preseason training camp, in which Jake obviously won the job, I think you still want to ease Coker into that role. And with that means that, hey, use your running backs. And I think Derrick Henry is going to get multiple carries throughout this year and be one of those top Heisman candidates.
I'll second that for number three. I also have Derrick Henry at the number three spot. My number four spot, I'm going off the short list here. I'm going with Malik Zaire from Notre Dame, the quarterback. He's not even being mentioned in this debate, but I think he deserves to be. I think the kid's excellent. He's only a sophomore, and he's got a great arm, can run like crazy. And this Notre Dame team, I hate to say it, but they're for real. They are finally for real. So, yes, Malik Zaire leading the revival of the Notre Dame Fighting Irish.
Do you think this past weekend's game, Notre Dame, of course, taking on Texas, do you think it was more so that Texas was just bad or was Notre Dame just that good?
I think it's a mix. Notre Dame showed that they have class last year when they played LSU, and they've been on the upswing for a little bit of time now that they have Brian Kelly. But Texas is also, let's be honest, they've been overrated for 10 years now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All right. Well, number two for me, we were kind of short on time here, only 2 minutes left. I'm going to go with Deshaun Watson, quarterback, sophomore quarterback out of Clemson. I really like Deshaun Watson. Of course, they had just a blowout game against Wofford on Saturday, 49-10. But Deshaun Watson, he's just unbelievably athletic. He's 6'2", 205. He's a guy that I think you're going to see really, really play well for the Clemson Tigers. He's going to be a star for him. So I'm going with Deshaun Watson at number two.
Al, I've got to go Ezekiel Elliott at my number two. I'm pretty sure he's got to be your number one in
That's
that
it.
Case because he's just so phenomenal. You saw glimpses of how good he could be yesterday. It's hard to argue with that one. Unless you think he should be number one.
He is my numero uno. Ezekiel Elliott, man, as you just mentioned, I mean, he is a fantastic running back that runs with power, just straight power. He's got a great knack for being patient with the football. I think Ezekiel Elliott is going to be a star amongst many stars for the Ohio State offense. So, yeah, he's my numero uno. I think it goes to Ezekiel Elliott. Who do you got?
Now number one, I've got Trevon Boykin from TCU. I think coming off an excellent junior season, he's poised to have a great senior season. Minnesota is a fantastic defense.
I was about to bring up Minnesota.
So get ready to see a little bit more offense from TCU in the coming games.
Yeah, and you know, Minnesota is one of those teams that you can't sleep on. They actually gave the Ohio State Buckeyes trouble last year. Ohio State only beat Minnesota by a touchdown. So interesting pick though, Trevon Boykin from TCU. All right. All right, we'll debate more of that tomorrow. Again, we are out of time, though. Thanks so much to all of you out there for tuning in to today's Current Sports with me, Al Martin, right here on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing. As always, take care, have one fantastic day, and be easy, people.